issue, and I think we need it in the time in which we live, because many believers too often think that they don't really fit because, well, their name is not on the bulletin, their name is not on some marquee outside a church, or there is no recognition by others with their regard. Well, after we get through with this study, I hope you understand that every one of you is important as far as the plan of God is concerned. You realize, of course, that too often we think that the value of a ministry or the effects of a local church is based primarily on the doings of the pastor. That can be true in some cases, and unfortunately it is in some, because the pastor does everything. Well, I'm not going to cheat you. I found many years ago that for me to do that would be an insult to the fact that you possess spiritual gifts. And there are those who are ministering right now to people that I cannot minister to. I found equally a long time ago that I could not reach little children. They didn't understand the words that I used. They didn't understand the illustrations that I used. We have a staff of prep school teachers that are gifted in that area, some more so than others. And I say some more so than others because there is a natural gift that all women have who have borne children or are going to bear children in dealing with children. We, you know, men, have a rather gruff attitude, and rightfully so. You need to have that. There has to be that father image as well as the final authority as far as the authoritarian image. Now, of course, those of you men who are quiet and reserved and laid back, I'm not suggesting that you have to learn how to be rough and gruff. But naturally speaking, that is in the flesh, we have, there's something within us that gives us that drive. And you can see it in small children as they're growing up, boys especially. I'm referring to boys. And as they're growing up, you begin to see the exercise of that independence. It begins at about a year, maybe even two. And then when they get to the terrible fours, they're starting to order you around. That's where the kindness of the mother and the authority of the father step in, and the child then realizes that, well, they have a place in their home, and they don't have the right to exercise their authority yet until they're in their middle 40s. All right, so we have then the area of indifference. And by indifference, I do not mean people who differ from the standpoint of doctrine, but differences in the area of inequality. I think we should probably preface everything by saying that there is no document that has ever been written or an attempt on the part of anyone to make an individual equal. When the Constitution of these United States claims a principle of equality, it's talking about equality not from the standpoint of you being equal to somebody else, but having equal opportunity or equal privilege. There's a vast difference between equal opportunity or equal privilege and equality. You see, the communists have attempted to equalize their people over the years, and they have now recently discovered that it doesn't work. However, by the way, don't be fooled. As far as I'm concerned, once a communist, always a communist. And even though the communists now are attempting to change their face, they haven't changed their heart. Their thinking is still the same. They want world domination. And we are becoming very, very foolish. We're becoming quite stupid in this country, as a matter of fact. The very fact that recently we allowed a man like Mandela to come in and speak before the United Nations was an insult to us as a people. The man has already aligned himself with such greats as Omar Gaddafi. He goes along with the policies of Fidel Castro. And those words, by the way, are not mine, they're his. And he is also anti-Semitic. And yet the dummies, those ignorant fools, stood up and gave him a standing ovation. I'd have given him a grenade. There were men, however, who make up this country who are still great Americans. You say, what'd they do? Well, first of all, they try to warn the people about this guy. Now, some of you are sitting there, and I can see it written all over your face. You're sitting there saying, I thought he was such a great man. He's a communist. He's a terrorist. He's a revolutionary. And you see that? He wants equality. He doesn't want equality. He wants superiority, and that's always been the case. The communist doesn't want to be equal. They want to be superior. The blacks in this country don't want equality. They want superiority. Whenever a minority starts crying about inequality, what they're saying is they want superiority. Now, I'm not anti-black. I'm not anti-anything. Unless whoever it is my enemy, then I'm anti. I've met Greeks I don't like. But I'm not anti-Greek. I've met Greeks that are socialists. I've met Greeks that are communists. And I think some of you will concur, and this is just simply venting my hostility that has built up over the weekend, that the only good communist is a dead one. All right. Now back to our subject. I think Nick will agree to that. I know I have at least one hearer, if nothing else. And I'm sure Jay will also. Differences among believers. Why is it that we still have spiritual freedom when there is so much equality, or rather inequality? How can we experience spiritual freedom when we're not the same? Does spiritual freedom only include those that are tall, those that are good looking, those that are young, those that have a spiritual gift that is seen? How about the spiritual gifts that are unseen? Do you realize that this church couldn't function? It couldn't function at all, by the way, without the gifts that are operative that you do not see. I do one thing. And that's study and teach. That's all I do. I don't turn the lights on when I come in the building. I don't turn the air conditioning on. I don't have anything to do with the music. I have nothing whatever to do with the grounds and property. You notice the lawns are cut? You notice that the area is cleaned? I don't do that. I study day after day after day after day after day after day, and I teach night after night after night after day after night after night after night. That's Sunday morning, Sunday evening thing. I know pastors that are out there sitting on a lawnmower. Jerks. Take them off of the thing and push their face in front of the Word of God and say, this is where you belong. This is what you should be mowing through. You notice the building is clean. I had nothing to do with it. Somebody did it. We're enjoying the air conditioning. Somebody keeps that running. I don't. The fans were installed. Well, two of them we can't afford anymore. And when we can afford the next two, we'll get the next two. That's the way we do things here. And you're enjoying that. Somebody did that. Now, I happen to know who did it, but I didn't do it. There are a few things that I did, and we won't talk about that, because there's a lot of errors in this building, and most of them are directly identified with my carpentry. This wall, all that ductwork, that back wall, the partitions, hang the doors backwards. Well, the electrician and I just didn't get along together. That proves our inequality. I put the door on one way, and he had already put the boxes for the light switches on another way. Carl, in the back, please. Ma'am, he'll take care of you right outside the door. Okay. If you see some problems in carpentry, Carl is always trying to undo what I did. He wanted to hang that door correctly, put the light switch on the right side where it belonged. You know, you're supposed to walk in and flip the switch. Well, if you walk in that door, you have to open the door and you have to go around the door and flip the switch. So, it's different. Let's be unpredictable about things. Let's get a definition and a description of inequality. Point one, no two people are born equal. They have different talents, different abilities, different mentality, different circumstances. How about this one? Different genes, different environment. All of these, by the way, directly affect the principles of inequality. Some of you probably would love to draw. You know, pick up a pencil and just start in. Some of you can't. There are those that have natural talents. There are those that have the ability to just pick up a writing instrument and just start in and end up with a beautiful production. My son is one of those. When he was in high school, just before he graduated, his teacher and my wife and I got together. And we were talking. And so he says he should pursue this career, as a career, rather. And so I said, yeah, he definitely shows some quality and there's some promise there. And he says, yeah, but realize that when he goes on to college, he'll probably go back to the basics. And so, you know, I said, like what? He says, well, you know, like he did in the first 2 years of art. And I said, he didn't have 2 years of art. He's only had 6 months of art. And that's been in this class. He says, this is an advanced art class. And he gave him an A. He has it. Another thing that bothers me about him, he's able to sit down and play the piano without reading the music. He plays from the index. We tried to give him piano lessons. He was bored. Didn't like that. Some of you have no musical ability whatever. You can't even hum a tune. Oh, how I love Jesus, oh, I love Jesus, love me so. But you blend in beautifully, by the way, here, because we don't ask for quality, we just want sound. I know there's that verse, and I use it over and over again, make a joyful, what? Noise. Doesn't say quality of singing, it just says noise. Some of us, that's all we do, noise. How about the person that can throw a softball considerably further than somebody else? How about somebody that has an innate ability to run and run like Mercury? How about mental ability? We're not equal. And yet, isn't it marvelous that even though we are unequal, God's plan is designed for all of us. The rich and the poor, the big and the small, the thin and the fat, the good-looking and the not-so-good-looking, the ones with hair and the ones without hair. You know, that's the way it works. Point two, after the new birth, we still have different gifts or spiritual status. Therefore, all of us are still different. I mentioned this earlier. I think I'll mention it now. There's only one way that you can make man equal, and that is reduce them to the lowest common denominator. It's very simple. If you have a person with an IQ of 200 and you have another person with an IQ of 50, the only way you're going to make them equal is to bring this one down to 50. You can't bring this one up to 200. So you're going to perform some kind of a lobotomy or operation, remove something from that individual so he's reduced to an IQ of 50. If you have somebody who has $0 and someone else who has $1,000, the only way you're going to make them equal is bring them all down to equality with the lowest common denominator. That's socialism. That's why it stinks. That's why I can never work. And yet we are unequal. We have different talents. We have different abilities. We look different. Thank God for that. Well, you see, if the commies, by the way, were consistent, they'd want everybody looking alike. How do you do that? You can't. Point three, it is impossible then to make people equal. You may have equal rights. Like this morning, a perfect illustration of the principle of freedom is found right here in this auditorium. There are people in this church right now who I know have probably anywhere from $10,000 to $20,000 in the bank. Some of you may have $50,000. Some of you may have $100,000. Some of you have maybe more than that. Some of you may not have anything. Now, my savings account has a great big $16 in it. You say, what happened? I just graduated a young man. Did you ever go through graduation? I thought the girls were rough. I mean, John, every time he turned around, he'd say, I want this. John, that's $200. What? Gotta have it. Girls didn't ask for a party. John wanted the whole world to come to his party. He sent invitations to Houston. He got long-distance phone calls from people. Collect. Does that make us different? Sure does. But you see, we can appreciate our freedom to learn doctrine regardless of how much money we have. We are free to function in this local assembly without any coercion whatever, without any intrusion or interference, regardless of our status, regardless of our size, regardless of our looks. Why? Because the Spirit has set us free. It is impossible to make people equal. We have equal rights to advance under freedom. And you can go as far as you want to go. Why don't some people go and some do? Because some are lazy. We have people that just kind of sit around. They don't want to take advantage of anything. They don't want to advance. They're happy the way they are. I think. Then there are those of you possibly here this morning that would like to be better than you are. Great. You have the freedom in this country to do it. And I'll fight for that freedom. I'll die for that freedom. But you see, you and I, as believers, have a tremendous advantage. Not only are we humanly free, but we're spiritually free. And even though you may lose your human freedom, you can't lose your spiritual freedom unless you volitionally decide otherwise. Please remember that there is available for every believer a place of power, and it's called the divine dynasphere. That place of power is where you enjoy your spiritual freedom. Once you get out of that divine dynasphere, once you get out of that power sphere, that's where the filling of the Spirit occurs. That's where the believer is empowered by the Spirit. That's where the Christian life functions. That's where it has meaning and purpose and definition and application. It's not out here. All right, out here we have two other spheres. Cosmic one, cosmic two. This is Satan's system. I have a tape recorder at home that I've been working on. It's a reel-to-reel. It was something that I had out in the greenhouse for about 3 years. It had a broken belt. And so when I was going through those other tape recorders that I found throughout the house and the shop and the greenhouse, when my wife asked me about tape recorders, I realized one of them had a broken belt, and I says, well, while I'm getting the belt for that one, I'll get the belt for that old one. Well, I got the belt out, the old belt, and I replaced it with a new one. And this is a long way of telling you that I had to try it out. I put a tape on. I didn't bother reading what the tape was, and I don't remember what it was. It was that tape on the angelic conflict, that one that you cannot have, the one about demon possession. And I listened to it for a while, and I figured I'm not going to listen to it too much longer because I want this tape recorder to keep running. You say, why do you say that? The last time I played that tape, I went through 3 tape recorders. You see, there are powers that be resident within these two spheres that you don't want to be associated with. But when you get out of here, your spiritual freedom now is minus spiritual freedom. Now you become a slave to the details of life. Now you become a slave to Satan's policies. Point 4. The only basis for equality is to have everyone zombies. I like that. We call that around here Operation Zombie. The only way you're going to have everyone equal is to make them all zombies. You see, the antithesis to communism is capitalism. Capitalism is that principle where your rights and privileges are protected and you are free to advance. Wouldn't it be awful? Wouldn't it be awful if all we had was one product to choose from? That's socialism. I mean, you can buy Kleenex that has perfume. You can buy Kleenex that has boxes. My wife is always showing the inequality in our household. She buys different colored Kleenex boxes. Well, you know, I don't really care where those boxes are and what color they are as long as they are. Do you understand? And so she says, "Hon, would you throw me down a Kleenex box?" So I'll throw one down. "No, not that one, the gray one." "Whoa, what's the difference? The pink one belongs in the bathroom." "Oh, I see." Now, do you really think that for us men that that's going to make a difference? When we, we could care less whether it came out of a pink box, a blue box, a silver box, or no box. But then when you go downstairs and you see all that harmony of color, now, you know what I'm talking about, ladies? That we don't see? Do you really look at the color of the box, guys? Do you really care whether it's pink or blue? There's some inequality for you. I've noticed, by the way, over the years that apparently some of you men are not taking advice from you women with regard to your dress. Purple does not go with chartreuse. I just thought I'd mention that. Or maybe it does. But pink doesn't go with red. So quit wearing red ties with pink shirts. Say, who wears a pink shirt? Point four again. The only basis for equality then is to have everyone zombies. The worst thing a society can do is lower itself to its lowest common denominator. And that's the only way you're going to have equality. Point five. Incidentally, I should mention that Christian weirdos generally refer to this as Christian love. They're going to go around loving everybody. That's weird. You can't love everybody personally. Aren't there some people you don't like? Come on. Get that phony look off your face for just a minute. There must be somebody you don't like. Don't think about them. I want you to stay in fellowship for a while. But isn't there somebody on this earth that you just can't stand? I don't like Castro, by the way. And I say, well, how can I love him? Afar. With a relaxed mental attitude. You got to learn the difference, and you have to come to Bible class for this during the week to learn the difference between personal love and impersonal love. Vast difference. Christian weirdos are always running around trying to make people fit their mold. Listen, the one thing that I'm going to protect as long as I'm the pastor of this church, and that's your inequality and your privacy. I'm going to protect the fact that you're different. And I better never hear of anyone trying to get somebody fit into some mold. And we call that Operation Cookie Cutter, and we won't stand for it. You know, a lot of pastors, they'd like to stand at the door, and as the people go out like molten clay, just kind of give them one of these. They all look alike, talk alike, walk alike, and they all have the same don'ts. We got people here that chew. That's right. They're not chewing now. But they do. Inequality. Great. I don't want that stuff in my mouth. Okay? But let's make everybody equal. Now what do? We all have to chew. Oh, no. So you chewers, you chew. Ugh. Say, what are you chewing? Bubble gum. Point five, Here's a principle that I want you to learn and never forget. You are to stay within your own standards. You have a standard for your life. And if that standard is a biblical one, never depart from it. Never depart from your personal standards to make someone else feel better. That's compromise. I know people, they are so, may I use the word flexible, and I use that reservedly. They will actually lower their standards to make someone else feel better, and what they've really done is compromise their Christian position. Don't you ever do that. Point six. There is no law of love where standards are concerned. We must have different standards and are entitled to our different standards as long as they don't violate the law or violate a principle of Scripture. I know that by walking through the parking lot. There isn't one automobile out there that's the same. And I guarantee, by the way, that if you did buy the same automobile, it wouldn't be long before it would be different. You might have a pair of booties hanging from it. That is from the rear view mirror. Does that mean all of us now are going to have to go out and buy booties? I look across the audience and no one here is dressed the same. As a matter of fact, that would be horrible. You women would say, "Where'd you get that?" Well, I bought this from an exclusive shop. It's one of a kind, and you have the same thing on. You know, that's one thing that doesn't really bother us, men. We see somebody with the same suit, there isn't that, our eyes don't turn green when they're blue. But boy, get a woman at a party and they both have exactly the same dress on and look out. Look out. Now some of you are sitting there and give me that look like you could care less. Obviously your wardrobe no one else would have. You're entitled to your differences. And there's an old Greek saying, it says, "Vive la différence." Say, wait a minute, that's not Greek, it's French. Okay, it's close. Point seven, you are not inferior because your standards aren't as high as someone else's. Did you get that? You are not inferior because your standards aren't as high as someone else's. The point is, you have the freedom to have a standard that differs. And besides, who has measured that standard as being inferior or superior? It's a standard. And if you're happy in it, again, if it's not violating the law or the Word of God, who cares? And that's a part of your freedom. And that's something else that's going to be protected here. Now, we had a person here many years ago, and he used to get annoyed when some of the people at the church didn't wear ties. Because he wore one all the time. And I had to try to get this across to him. I finally did. I don't know that he was ever totally relaxed about it, however. His feeling was that during the week it's all right, but on Sunday morning, I mean, couldn't our guys really dress a little better? And my answer to that is, I don't care how you dress, as long as you're here. Now, I speak for one member of our congregation that probably wished that he'd have known that I was going to ask you all to come forward who served in the military, because he was wearing probably the same outfit that he'd been wearing working probably 15 or 20 minutes before. Am I right, Brandon? You know, there he had paint blotches on his T-shirt, you know, and wearing cutoffs with flip-flops. But you see, that was extemporaneous. I didn't have that on the agenda, except for about 2 hours before, and I decided to do honor to those who had served in the military a day after the 4th of July, and we played the Bridge Builders' Why I Love America, you know that one, and we had all the guys come up and give their rank and their serial number and the place where they served and so on. If you weren't here, of course, you missed that. But I'm sure there were those that would have said, you should have given us some warning. Well, if I had to do it again, I'd have had you come in full dress uniform. How's that? I couldn't because somebody stole mine. There's a perfect illustration of inequality. We had people in the Air Force and we had people in the Navy. There's inequality. I mean, how unequal can you get? Here's Brandon in a submarine at I don't know how many fathoms deep, and there I am in an airplane so many feet high. That's inequality. He's going gurgle, gurgle, and I'm breathing for oxygen. You are not inferior because your standards are not as high as someone else's. You say, well, then what are you? You're different. And there's nothing wrong with being different. And I don't want you to sit around at home thinking about how you'd like to conform somebody to your standard. The only one that you have the right to do that with, by the way, are your own children. You can't even do that with somebody else's children. I know you'd like to. I don't know how many times I've been in a supermarket and I've seen some little brat running around grabbing things and throwing things all over the place. I saw a kid the other day. I was at the bank, which happens to be in a supermarket. And this kid was sitting on the ugly teller. And I don't mean... Whoa. Almost got myself in trouble there. Hey, one of you smiled. Great. The machine. Right? His mother was there in the line waiting to go through the checkout. And here was this kid, and you know those papers that they have? He kept stuffing them into the machine and then typing all kinds of things on the monitor. And occasionally she'd look over. Get this. She'd look over and she'd say, whatever his name was, Rhino. I don't know what his name was. That's what I called him. Brado. Now, if that kid would have been mine, there'd have been some blood smears on that machine after a while. But see, I wouldn't have had to do that. Because I'd have told the child, don't even go near that machine. And stand right here. And they'd have not gone near the machine, and they'd have stood right there. And that's the way I raised all four of them. Now, apparently, that woman thinks that the standards by which she's raising that child, and she has the perfect right to do it. The only problem is, when it interferes with me, that's when I step in. Now, it didn't interfere with me. Well, it did mentally, but that's a test. Don't you realize, people, that some other people's children are a test for you? You know that some other people are tests for you. Your circumstances right now may be a test for you. You say, well, I'm experiencing great prosperity. That's a test. Others of you say, I'm experiencing great financial problem. That's a test. Please understand something. God is always in control of the life of the believer in areas of circumstance. And I don't want to hear any of you go around saying, I don't know why God is doing this to me. It's a test. Pass it. And right around the corner, there may be blessing that you can't even understand right now. What's God asking you to do? Pass the current test. You see, before any advance, there's always a test. And some of you haven't learned that yet. You keep failing. And there's a principle that's very simple. God says, you're going to have to take the test again. And you're going to keep doing it until you pass. And you know, it's unfortunate. Some people go their entire life taking the same test over and over and over again. Some of you are planning on the possibility of a happy marriage in the future. Well, you've had some disasters in the past. Forget it. It's gone. It's over. It's finished. Right now, test. Pass the tests. Some of you may be married and wish you had a happy marriage. Test. Pass it. By the way, if you're interested in having a happy marriage, you'll be here on Tuesday night, and you'll be here on Wednesday night, you'll be here on Thursday night, you'll be here on Friday night. Because that's where we're finding out how to have a happy marriage. And then if you're not married, not interested in getting married, that's how we find out how to have a happy. How's that? A happy anything. A happy life. Point 8. The differences between us as provided by the Lord are spiritual gifts. The pastor, for example, has authority, but he's not any better than anybody else. Where did you ever get the idea? Where did they ever get the idea that because they have the gift of pastor teacher, that automatically makes them better? I'm not any better than any of you. Matter of fact, in some cases, you might even be better than I. The difference is I have the gift, which I didn't ask for. I have the authority when I'm standing up here ministering the Word of God, but that doesn't make me any better. See, the Lord says something in the Revelation about the Nicolaitans. He says, I hate the system called Nicolaiti. You know what Nicolaitan means? Rulership over the people. Clergy-laity concept. Every so often I hear this term and it annoys me. Well, so-and-so is just a layman. Oh yeah, where's he lying? What is a layman, part chicken? I don't understand that, layman. Oh, and so-and-so is a member of the clergy, a member of the cloth. What? I have the gift of pastor teacher. You have your own gift. We're different. But I'm not any better. You're not any better. We're not any worse. You say, so-and-so down the street, and another pastor's got a congregation of 5,000. Boy, he's great. No, he's not. He needs a congregation of 5,000. I don't. Don't you see, God has provided for our needs, and too often we miss the whole thing by saying, why is this now? Pass the test. Finally, for this morning, point 9. All healthy nations have different people with different standards. Wouldn't it be awful, by the way? I just thought of something. Monday night football, they're all equal. You say, well, what's wrong with that? You know what the score is going to be? 0-0. Yeah, that wouldn't be a very exciting game. Of course not. There'd be no scoring. Unless we make them all equal bumbling idiots, and then we're going to have a score that's astronomically high. But it'll end up the same. You know, 0-0 is the same as 1,000 to 1,000. You understand that? I can't conceive of a football game with 1,000 points, but nevertheless, that's an illustration. It's a hyperbole. It's simply a phrase to indicate that you cannot have equality, because if you do, you can't have equal people. If you do, you have no competition. And you know what makes this country so great is its competitive attitude. Competition in business. Wouldn't it be awful if Shuck and Sons made the same trusses as somebody else? No, they think they make them better, and I do too. You know why? Because we have at least five people that either work there or are part owners. Or full owners. So we do have with Shuck and Sons. I don't think anybody makes t-shirts as well as best impression. Say, why? Because my son-in-law owns the company. But you know what? There are other people out there making t-shirts. And I see the quality. And the reason why there's that quality is because there's that competitive attitude. And they use the best screens. They use the best ink. They use the best machines. They use the best help. They don't just find some guy walking along the street that looks like he needs a job. They screen them carefully. Don't you see my point? That's the way a church functions healthily. The differences within it. Now, some of you are listening to Lucy play this morning. Can you all play like that? I can't. And by the way, if you can, you've been hiding something from us all these years. We got a guy here. He occasionally comes now. But this man is so arrogant, he thinks he can do anything anybody else does. And he can't do any of the things that anybody else does. So you see, what arrogance does is assume that you are better than somebody else. And you're going to find something out, and we'll study it tonight. Arrogance always attempts to standardize other people on the basis of their own standard. So what's the name of the game? A relaxed mental attitude with regard to people. Learn to be relaxed around people. And pass the tests of life. What God has for you is much greater than your conforming somebody to your standard. Where does gossip come in? You see, what gossip is simply passing on information about somebody that's different as far as your standards are concerned. Well, you know what she said, and you know what he said, and so on. Who cares? And all you're doing is harboring sins of the tongue and mental attitude sins, and that's going to bring compounded discipline. What is the matter with us? Over here we have discipline, okay? All takers, see you afterwards. Over here we have blessing. I can't give you that. I can't give you this either. Which would you choose? By the way, I've assumed, and may be wrong, but I've assumed that all of you here are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've quit assuming that right now. Why? Because I'm ready to close the service. Listen to me. You don't have a fiddler's chance in life if you're outside of Christ. These blessings that I've been talking about, this phenomenal life that's ahead for every one of us as believers, is not for you, because you haven't availed yourself yet of the most important decision you'll ever make in life. Some of you think the most important decision you'll ever make in life is whether or not you get married, or whether or not you get a job, or whether or not you live in a particular geographical locale. No, no. The greatest decision you'll ever make in your life is accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. And that's where it all starts. That's the new birth. That's where your spiritual freedom lies. That's where you can make choices in life, and proper ones, taking them from the Word, understanding the truth as it is taught here on a nightly basis, and advancing to the high calling we have in Christ. Going to the higher ground of life. So I would strongly suggest that if you're here without Christ, you don't let this day go by. You say, well, what must I do? Accept Christ as your personal Savior. How do you do that? In the privacy of your own mind, you simply say, I accept Christ. I accept you as my Savior. Come into my life and change it. And then thank Him for it. That's all. Say, nah, it's too easy. Oh, really? Then do it, if it's so easy. Well, it's not so easy. All the forces of hell try to keep unbelievers from ever getting saved. And then again, you know, by saying it's too easy, you've missed the point. It's always easy for man, but it was not easy for the Son of God. Let's pray. You're dismissed. Father, we're grateful, we're thankful that we can be challenged by thy word and by these principles that are so related to life. We're also aware of the fact that there might be individuals here that have never confessed Christ as Savior. May they do so right now. Father, for those of us who know thy Son, may we enjoy our spiritual freedom, living and residing within the sphere of power to thy glory. Dismiss us now, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. We'll see you tonight at 7 o'clock.